Hey there, lovely listeners. A quick announcement before we get to the summary. We, the podcast team, decided to take July off to enjoy the weather and rest from what was a very intensive recording schedule recently. While you will not notice our absence too much because we recorded ahead, there will be 1 week, next week in fact, the one starting on the 11th of July, where no podcast will be released. However, in anticipation of the very exciting episode 14, for which we are joined by Henry Mintzberg, Ralph wrote a book review of the reading that we'll be discussing, Simply Managing. So we'll publish that in next week on our blog instead of the episode. So take care and have a lovely time. Hi, you're listening to Talking About Organizations. This is a summary of episode 13, where we discussed a 1959 work by Donald Roy entitled Banana Time, Job Satisfaction and Informal Interaction. In this short paper, free copy of which is available from our website, Roy looks at how individuals and groups of individuals motivate and mentally stimulate themselves in the conduct of what was basically very monotonous work. Some of the key themes we covered during the full episode are group dynamics, scientific management, importance and role of play, social cohesion, experience of time, and monotony, back then as well as right now. So a few words about the author. Roy was a sociologist at Duke University, and his work focused on blue-collar workers and, more specifically, on their interactions and working conditions. Banana Time is his most famous work. It reports the findings of an ethnographic study at a garment factory in New York. Here, Roy spent some time as a machine operator, punching holes and stuff, and understandably the work was very repetitive and really, really boring, as he reports. The two main problems which arose in that situation were monotony and fatigue. So a natural question which is addressed in the study is how can motivation be maintained in such working conditions? Well, it turns out that laughter is not only the best medicine, but also a decent labor process design principle. Workers in this setting relied on the use of games and jokes to structure time in a ritualized way. As a matter of fact, the banana time from the title refers to one of the jokes played among the workers where one worker would steal a banana from his colleague's lunchbox at a certain time of day and then proudly proclaim banana time. The difference between this and straight-up bullying was that despite the fact that theft would occur on a daily basis and without fault, the victim would keep bringing bananas to work in order to keep this going. That being said, this does not sound like much of a difference, and maybe the person just really wanted his banana. In any case, banana time served the purpose of marking the passage of time, which is a theme that I will return to towards the end of this summary. Differently from other works that we read, this article uses a rich narrative writing style, alternating moments of humor, turns of phrases, and other rhetoric devices. It is also quite brief and devout of unnecessary complexity. What results is a careful balance between scientific writing and beautiful prose. The premise is that monotony and its twin brother fatigue are unavoidable in work environments which would not be out of place in F.W. Taylor's Scientific Management. While this text touches upon a great number of classical themes in management, many of which we addressed in previous episodes, these are not directly mentioned or related to. A first interesting connection can be made to Hawthorne studies, which we covered in episode 9, which find further support in this work by emphasizing the importance of human relations at the workplace. Roy goes into greater detail about group dynamics and introduces notions of power and authority there. This is exemplified by elements of status, which are featured in the way jokes and pranks are played, but also reflects in the pay and amount of working hours. More power and authority meant more working hours, which seems counterintuitive, but it also meant more money, as remuneration was on per-hour basis. Also, while the setting closely resembles that of the scientific approach by Taylor, there are a number of differences which jump out. The central focus of Taylor was one on issues of efficiency, but Roy looks at themes of social interaction in relation to motivation at work. So Taylor thought that reducing waste and resources will be motivation enough, as employees will get paid more as a result. We all know that that didn't work out quite as well. Roy's conclusions here are richer and more complex. The problem of motivation lies in boredom, and the solution to this is actually found by the workers themselves and in total absence of any managerial input on the matter. It is also interesting to note that the working conditions of this setting were such that the workers are actually isolated from the rest of the organization. Roy paints a dystopian picture of a removed factory space with no access to any other employees who worked at the larger organization. They have no contact with superiors and they never even see their foreman. One person occasionally makes an appearance but doesn't seem to have any bearing on what happens with their working days. This makes the development of esprit de corps, to cite Fayol, particularly interesting. That being said, such working conditions are not as uncommon as it may seem at first glance. We talked about this for a bit, and places like ships, for example, display many of the same characteristics that Roy's factory had. These are lack of contact with the rest of the organization, remotely given orders, separation but not autonomy, at least in any official way, and a degree of self-reliance. It is in a setting such as this that Roy argued for the importance of play, or, by extension, any other form of mental and creative stimulation. The use of games here is quite peculiar too. Nowadays, games are used for team-building purposes or to unlock creativity and such, but here the idea is to keep the employees going in the face of incredible boredom and utter lack of meaning to their work. Another aspect is that games help bridge the cultural divide. In this setting, virtually all of the employees on the shop floor were from different countries, many of whom ended up there as a direct consequence of World War II. As a result, ability to speak a common language was limited, so playing games became an important act of communication, which allowed employees to get to know each other and develop a sense of community, however basic. Finally, through providing such a rich narrative of his experiences, Roy also inadvertently contributed to the development of philosophy of time within management. This is quite important. The Banana Time and other such games served as a way to mark the passage of time in an environment marked by such monotony that the ticking of the clock had no longer any meaning. You may have heard of the distinctions between time as Chronos and Kairos, where Chronos marks chronological time, such as the one produced by the clock, and Kairos marks experience time, such as the one that actually has any meaning to our lives. And so, where minutes turn to hours and hours turn to days, but the work progress remains unchanged, people need a way to make sense of their existence in the world. That much we know from philosophy and psychology, but not really from management to that point. Neither Taylor nor Fayol, nor even Barnard, approach the question of motivation at work from any kind of phenomenological perspective. Roy, however, showed how employees can develop their own ways of understanding being in time by, as was the case here, playing games at arbitrary yet regular intervals. In relation to the modern workplace, one can think of things like casual Fridays, cake days, and coffee times as direct descendants of the probably no longer appropriate banana time. All in all, this is a very insightful piece of work, an ethnographic study which sheds light on motivation and games as a defense against monotony from the worker's point of view. There is much about motivation and group dynamics here, and if you listen to the full episode, the benefit is that you probably won't need to read the paper, as I think we did a good job of going through the themes that Roy does not really discuss explicitly. But such is the strength of this paper. It stimulates further thinking rather than just tells you about things directly. Next time, we continue talking about management as it occurs in practice, as we discuss Henry Mintzberg's 2013 book Simply Managing. I hope you enjoyed this summary and found it of value, and we hope to see you next time when we will be joined by Henry Mintzberg himself here on Talking About Organizations.